It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dave and DeGenovic. Wildfire season is among us. Had a little brush fire, 200 acres. I guess that's maybe more than a brush fire out of I-80 on Sunday. Today for our coverage of Be Ready Utah, one of the biggest concerns of fire season is being in the uncontrollable path of the fire, forced to leave your home. Randall Jepson, executive producer for Utah's Morning News. You have a little experience with this, Randall. What happened?
Yeah, so I guess my first experience with a big wildfire, let's go back to 2012. That was the dump fire in Saratoga Springs where I live, and I think that was some target shooters that started that, and it kind of came down the mountainside. And at that point, it was a recommended evacuation, but it was not a forced. So at that point, we started thinking, all right, well, what do we want to do? What should we gather up? And we never actually left our house at that fire. They got it out. Firefighters did a great job. Well, jump ahead to 2020. It's the start of the pandemic. Life is crazy. Nobody knows what's going on. And it's June, and this huge fire starts a couple miles down the street from my house. And it was super windy, kind of like it's been the last few days
here. Yeah, the Knowles fire.
Right, this is the Knowles fire. And, you know, we saw the big smoke plume, and we're like, oh, you know, it's a couple miles down the road, no big deal. It came so fast. And I just remember the firefighters just running up and down the streets, knocking on everyone's doors. You got to go. You got to go. And I'm like, oh, crap. Well, because of this fire, back in 2012, we had created this bin where we have photos, our passports, like important documents. And we keep this, you know, in a safe place in our house. And we just ran and grabbed it. And we each grabbed a couple changes of clothes, and off we went. Well, my family went. I kind of stayed behind.
How long did it take you?
To get out, only a few minutes.
So you knew from the 2012 incident
yes.
that it was better to be safe, and you created what you call a bin
mm-hmm.
for your documents that I suppose are either difficult or impossible to,
yep.
to recreate.
Tax documents, birth certificates, everything is locked up inside this tote that we can just grab and go.
Grab it and put it in the car.
And you did it.
Run out the
and
door.
We did it. So I sent
everything
my wife.
Turned out all right?
It did. The fire literally burned up some of my neighbors' fences. Like, their fences melted and some of the siding melted off their houses. It was crazy because I sent my wife and kids. They went in the minivan, and, of course, I had to stay behind. And I made sure all the windows were closed. I turned off the air conditioning so the air wouldn't be circulating. Yep. You know, did all the things that I thought needed to be done. And when I walked out of the house, probably 10 minutes later, just I couldn't even see across the street. The smoke
really?
Was so thick.
So thick.
And I got in the car, and I raced down to Redwood Road, and there I sat there for like 30 minutes in a traffic jam.
The worst traffic jam ever.
As I watched the flames burn towards our houses.
Randall Jepson, there you go. First-hand experience. Thank you for sharing that story. Wade Matthews joins us right now with the Division of Emergency Management. And Wade, give us an idea. How do you grade Randall's experience? How did he do? Like a good,
absolutely.
Meaty C+?
Oh, I'd actually give him better than that. Yeah, a B+, at least.
Ooh.
And one of the key things there is evacuating when he was told to evacuate. That's a lot of people, they do what we call milling, and they look around and wait for more information, see what the neighbors are going to do. And instead, you need to just act immediately. You know, that's the difference between life and death. That's the difference between being a victim and a survivor. You know, so, but some great tips there. First of all, you know, your disaster supply kit is going to be the first thing that you grab. It's got food, water, medication, clothing, tools in it that you might need to get by for a while, wherever you have to go evacuate to a shelter or a friend's or neighbor's house, a friend's or family member's house outside of the neighborhood. And then the next thing, the tote that he talked about is a great idea. We suggest making a list of things to grab in an evacuation order, besides your disaster supply kit, those things that are irreplaceable, you know, a priceless family heirlooms, you know, grandma's wedding rings, your family, your photo albums, family histories, journals, collections, you know, valuable collections. You make a list of those things on a 3x5 card. Prioritize them, the most important at the top, because you may not have time to get to everything on that list before you have to evacuate. Put down where you locate those, and then keep that card with an empty container or whatever so you can gather those things quickly in an evacuation order. But again, the important thing is to go when they tell you to go.
Wade, you've used the term evacuation order a couple of times, and I'm wondering, Randall talked about the fact that he stuck around. Are there incidents, are there times when the Division of Emergency Management or law enforcement can force a homeowner to evacuate their house?
It's my understanding that although a mandatory order may be issued, there's not going to be anybody coming around and forcing you out. No, you're taking the liability and risk, you know, on yourself by not leaving, and we're certainly not going to necessarily risk lives of responders to go in there necessarily and force people out. So while it may be mandatory, you know, people are not going to come in and force people to leave.
What happens if you run into that traffic jam like Randall did?
Look for alternatives, I suppose. You know, if you have to get out of the vehicle and leave on foot, you know, versus being faced with the flames, that's probably another option as well. Hopefully law enforcement can get that traffic jam moving quickly, because, you know, the important thing is getting out of the area as soon as possible if the flames are close.
And at some point, if you have to leave all your stuff behind, you got to leave your stuff behind. You are the most important possession. Wade Matthews, thank you so much for joining us, the Division of Emergency Management. If you have questions about emergency preparedness, not sure where to start, first of all, just listen to Wade. Wade knows everything. Find the answers at beready.utah.gov. Greg, I'm not very well prepared, and I'm really glad that we're doing this here at KSL, talking about emergency preparedness, because we always think the best. We don't think anything bad's going to happen, but it can in a hurry.
And they sell these things they call fireproof safes, but they're really fire-resistant safes. So don't ever count on something like that preserving all your personal assets. And I think that Randall Jepson made a very good point, and that is, have a bin, something you can grab, something you can run out the door with.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.